I think the first time that you recognize that you have high blood pressure, hypertension, or even pre-hypertension, the first thing that pops into most gentlemen's minds is, I don't really want to have to be on medication for that. But what if I told you that hypertension and erectile dysfunction go hand in hand? And what if I also told you that most gentlemen that deal with high blood pressure or hypertension that is uncontrolled eventually run into issues with their erection? So today we're going to talk about clinically proven strategies to get that blood pressure under control so that you don't have the erectile issues on the backside of it. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Gimme an E, the show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E! Stood out in my mind is I was like, okay, so our number one line of blood pressure medicine that we give everybody is a water pill. You know, you might be on it. It's called hydrochlorothiazide. We add it in with everything. And you know, when you really look at studies dating all the way back to 50 years back, 60 years back, it's kind of questionable whether that product is as good as they tell us to. But they tell us, all of our books teach us that the first line for Black people should be hydrochlorothiazide. But interestingly enough, hydrochlorothiazide will wreak havoc on erectile function over time. So we got to talk about that. And so I got a great question that one of you guys reached out and asked. And so I'm going to use that as kind of the jumping point to talk about ED and hypertension and just hypertension in general, because I think at the end of the day, it's not necessarily that you should be asking, hey, Dr. Rachel, what medication should I be on? What could they switch me to? But really, what can be done to help modulate or reduce my blood pressure so that maybe I can get off of some of it altogether and fix all the problems, right? So that's definitely something that we have to talk about. And then I got a question all the way in India about it from a gentleman who has multiple sclerosis and is having some erectile issues. And his erectile issues aren't necessarily that he's having trouble getting it up. He's just having trouble with some staying power, trouble with sensitivity. So we'll talk about sensitivity and all those types of things as we go through. Let me get you our first question, which comes from Walter Williams, right? Walter, thank you so much for your question. So Walter asks, I've been watching your videos covering hypertension, blood pressure, concerning the medication hydrochlorothiazide and depletion of zinc and volume. My prescription medication goes like this. It's a combo, lisinopril and hydrochlorothiazide. That's one of the most popular combinations, by the way, an ACE inhibitor and a diuretic. I'm going to bring up angiotensin as a better medication replacement for hydrochlorothiazide to better my concern dealing with sexual health and prostate. Do you have any other suggestions about the combo prescription? Now, one thing I want to make clear here is that angiotensin and lisinopril are basically going to be the same thing. So you're not really substituting one class for another when it comes to hypertension. And so when I got this question, I thought, well, there's so many different ways that I can approach answering it, but I figured the best, most useful way to use our time and our resources is to talk about the four things that seems to really impact blood pressure in a way that we can test for sometimes and in other ways we can't. But at the end of the day, there are little small tweaks that you can do in your own day-to-day life, whether it be a supplement or a vitamin or just a lifestyle change, that can yield huge difference. Because when he's on such a low amount of blood pressure medicine, what it tells me is that maybe we could potentially get him off of blood pressure medicine. So the first thing that I would want him to do and you to do is make sure that your vitamin D levels are optimized. Now, for the past 25 years or so, they have equated low vitamin D or vitamin D deficiency with hypertension. But study after study is having a hard time proving that it actually causes hypertension. But what we are 100% sure of, and the resources are below, is that if you happen to be low in vitamin D and hypertensive, that elevating your vitamin D levels can help decrease your hypertension and your high blood pressure, right? So this happens in a number of ways. One, I want you to, one, test your vitamin D levels, right? So when they test vitamin D, they might tell you your insurance doesn't cover that test, oddly enough. But you can actually get your vitamin D levels checked out of pocket for anywhere between $30 to $70, depending on what lab you're going to. So insist on it. Say, well, you know what, if you can't, if the insurance won't cover it, you know, I'll pay for it myself, right? Get your vitamin D levels. For me, I like for vitamin D to be optimized somewhere between 60 and 90, right? And it takes an awful lot of time to get it up to there. As a matter of fact, when I first tested my vitamin D levels, it was 14. That's how low my vitamin D levels are. And vitamin D tends to be lower in people who are browner skin, browner complexion, because it is difficult to convert vitamin D to its usable form because we need sun rays to do that. And this beautiful melanin sometimes blocks that, right? So one thing I want you to do is get your vitamin D levels checked. If it is low, then you need to start considering how to optimize and increase vitamin D. For most of my patients, it's vitamin D3 with K2 in it. And the K2 helps make sure that the vitamin D levels in high supplements, you know, in like 10,000 units or 5,000 units, won't cause calcification or harden arteries, right? So the vitamin K2 helps make sure that those high levels of vitamin D don't do the opposite of what we want, which is harden the blood vessels, right? So one thing about vitamin D supplementation is you got to make sure it's working. So many of us take the vitamin D and then just assume it's working. Take 1,000 milligrams a day, assume it's working, which in most people is way too low. Usually the dose is at least 2,500 to 5,000 IUs a day. And then what you want to do is check again in a few months to make sure it's going up. Because if it's not going up, now we have to figure out why is it not being absorbed and where is that vitamin D going if it's not going to increase it. So what you'll likely see is that it increased it some. And then what you may need to do is up the dose to continue to increase it more. Because actually, when they're looking at data, it shows that you don't see any improvements in the blood pressure necessarily when it's high mega doses of vitamin D. You see the improvement in the blood pressure off of kind of chronic, you know, lower doses just over time, right? So one, I want you to look at your vitamin D levels. The next thing I want you to do is consider that you may have a magnesium deficiency or your body isn't able to use magnesium in the way that it should, right? Those are two separate things, but they're really signaling the same thing. And I've got resources below to kind of help you understand that when it comes to magnesium, you know, not only is it involved in like 300 cellular processes throughout the body, it is so important when it comes to vasodilatation, which is basically the blood vessels relaxing so that blood flow can improve. Because when you have hypertension, what's happening is those blood vessels are constricting and going tight, and then the blood flow going through it is having a hard time. So what you want is vasodilatation. You want those blood vessels to relax. And what magnesium does is it kind of helps in that process. So magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. So some of you may be on Norvasc or amlodipine or isosorbide. So all that's calcium channel blockers. Well, magnesium blocks the calcium channels naturally. It helps increase nitric oxide production and it improves endothelial cell dysfunction, right? So if you've gone to myedquiz.com and you've taken the quiz, you may have been diagnosed or, you know, suggested that you have endothelial cell dysfunction. And what the endothelial cells do is they line the blood vessels and they're responsible for whether or not the blood vessels are going to clamp down or open up, right? And when it comes to erectile function, you want them open up. When it comes to hypertension and your heart health, you want them to open up, right? And so we need nitric oxide to be able to do that. And magnesium can help actually boost nitric oxide production. So it helps also improve endothelial cells' health. It makes them healthier so that your blood vessels can actually do what they're supposed to do, which is expand when they need to and constrict when they need to, right? So the other thing that magnesium actually does, it is integral in the process of vasodilatation. So not only does it help facilitate nitric oxide production, it helps repair the lining of the blood vessels, and it helps relax blood vessels. So magnesium is so important for so many different reasons, but particularly when it comes to blood pressure issues. Now, so there's a couple different ways we can approach blood pressure issues. We can do some genetic testing and see if you have certain SNPs that might make it hard for you to process magnesium, might make it difficult for you to make nitric oxide, or we can assume that you have those issues and give you some magnesium in order to make those improvements, right? So, of course, then you're like, well, doc, which types of magnesium? Now, when you're looking at the bottle, magnesium is always conjugated to something else, like magnesium stearate, magnesium glycinate, magnesium taurate, magnesium laurate, magnesium citrate. So if you happen to be taking arginine, L-arginine, and you're not listening to me, then make sure that it has magnesium citrate in it, because that'll help protect you. If you're, you know, taking it in the evening time and you want to relax, maybe a little constipated, take magnesium glycinate. If you are feeling like you're achy and you have arthritis and maybe a little fibromyalgia, you're having energy levels, then we're thinking about magnesium malate, right? So, and then of course, if you are older and you feel like you're having some memory issues, trouble concentrating, then you would do magnesium taurate, right? So magnesium is amazing for so many different reasons, but magnesium has a huge impact on hypertension. So vitamin D, we've got magnesium. These are the two things that you want to look at. And then the third thing is going to be nitric oxide levels. Remember, and click below if you want more information, because we've got plenty of studies to show you this information. Remember that nitric oxide used to be called the endothelium-derived relaxing factor. And really all that means is it's in the lining of the blood vessel and it causes those blood vessels to relax. Unfortunately, the diuretics, the things that we normally use to treat hypertension first line, helps destroy your ability to make that nitric oxide. And so you're not relaxing blood vessels as much as you could. And so your blood pressure elevates and eventually erectile function is the next thing to notice an impact on. You say, oh, I'm not getting as stiff as I used to. Oh, it's just not like it used to be. Oh, I'm getting older. Well, no, not necessarily that you are getting older, but your blood vessels are aging. And so one thing we have to think about is how can we boost nitric oxide levels, right? And we talk about that all the time, whether it's the green leafy vegetables, whether it's the beetroot extract, whether it's a smoothie recipes, the E-function smoothie recipes, whether it is a clinically proven strategy like a medical food or a medical supplement that has a nitrate in it, right? So of course I have a link to my favorite nitrate based supplement below. Nitrates have gotten a bad rap in the media. Most of that information that you're reading about nitrates is antiquated. It's played out. If nitrates were bad for you, we would see people who eat a ton of vegetables always having some form of cancer or something like that, right? It's just not true. Nitrates can really help turn the thing around. And then the other thing, you know, we spend so much time on salt. You go to the doctor, yeah, your pressure's a little high, cut down on salt. Cut the salt. When in reality, when we really look at the data and the studies, it shows that people who have low salt intake, they really don't live as long as people who have moderate levels of salt intake. And then when we also look at heart disease and hypertension, and we go back and we look at salt intake through the years, when we go back 100 years per se, when people's salt intake was about kind of like it is now, still didn't have all the same health problems that we have. Honestly, I think that sugar has the biggest impact. There's plenty of data to suggest that in the average individual, if we can cut about 2 to 3 tablespoons, or I'm sorry, teaspoons of sugar from your diet on a daily basis, you'll start to see your blood pressure levels go down. So, you know, you don't have to ignore your doctor when they say cut the salt, cut the salt, cut the salt. You know, because what we're really saying when we say cut the salt is we're saying cut down on the processed food. But the main thing that processed food has on top of having like some monosodium glycerate or some fake salt in it is it is high in sugar content. So if you really focus on cutting back on the sugar, cutting down your grams. I mean, look, sugar is hidden everywhere. It is in your tomato sauce. It is in your ketchup. It's in your juice in the morning. You know, sugar is everywhere. In processed food, they add extra layers of sugar just to make the stuff taste really good. So instead of just picking up your favorite items and continuing to fill your kitchen with the stuff that you've always cooked with, I want you to really start looking at those tables on the back and look at the added sugar. Try to cut out the added sugar, and you'd be surprised at what cutting back sugar will do and the impact that it will have on your blood pressure, right? Because it's the sugar, the fructose, that's really having a major impact on our blood vessels. And when we look at why that is, it really has a lot to do with inflammation and the inflammatory cascade. Not only does sugar fuel a lot of terrible processes in our body, but it makes us more insulin dependent. It makes us gain weight. It elevates your blood pressure. It reduces nitric oxide levels, and it is kind of a poison, you know, added sugar, right? Now, the sugar in fruit comes buffered with fiber, right? This is why we do smoothies instead of juicing, is because the fiber in the fruit helps offset the impact that the sugar would have. When you're taking processed sugar and giving it to somebody, there's no added fiber in there to buffer it. And that sugar is usually artificial. It's not cane sugar. It's not from the earth. It's not honey. It's not anything natural. It's really just produced by sugar beets in some factory somewhere and given to us in high fructose corn syrup, right? So just to kind of reiterate where we're going with this, when it comes to your blood pressure, let me put it up on the screen because I think I made a little slide that would show you the four things that we just talked about. Let me see. Oh, here we go. So in order to start to fix your high blood pressure so that you can reduce and eventually be off of high blood pressure medicine, look at your vitamin D levels. Think about supplementing magnesium. 500 to 600 milligrams, sometimes even more than that, 1200 milligrams in certain people a day. Right? Make sure that your nitric oxide levels are being optimized and you're not doing anything to impair nitric oxide production. You're not taking Prilosec and Omeprazole and Protonix and all of that every single day of your life, right? You're not using mouthwash to deplete your nitric oxide levels. You are making sure that you're very balanced bacteria-wise so that you can make the nitric oxide properly. And then, of course, shutting down and decreasing your sugar intake, being very mindful of the amount of sugar that you are taking in, because to be honest, nobody's ever going to blame it on sugar because there's too much money in the sugar industry. Okay. So they'll mention it and tell you to cut down on it. And, you know, and still the recommendations as to how much sugar you should be having every day is still, in my opinion, very high when it comes to added sugars. So cut back on the sugars, cut back on the juices, cut back on the sodas. Look at your condiment packages, look at your sauces, look at everything you're cooking with and everything you're buying and putting in your body. Cut that sugar down. Look at all these other things and message me when you start to notice your blood pressure is coming down. I am so serious. All right. So that was a great question. Thank you for that. Look, you could tell I could talk about this stuff all damn day, right? I get the question all the time, Dr. Rachel, why give me an E? And it all goes back to the fact that if you live long enough in this industrialized world that we live in some way, shape, or form, you're going to have a little bit of an erectile issue. Now, so for me, this started years ago back in Gary, Indiana. And now to be able to be in this space where I can take this information and share it with men all over the world and get these emails and these comments about how fantastic things are going. That is why I do this work. So if you're enjoying Give Me an E, if you've gotten something out of the podcast, I want you to share it with someone that you think might benefit from it as well. All right? Okay, let's get back to Give Me an E. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do? In a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. Here's a message that came in from Facebook. This is from Somchak. Hello there. We welcomed him with our message. And he says, thanks, doctor. You are an angel that I found you and I'm excited. I stopped using omeprazole for 2 days and my jewel regained stiffness. You are a godsend. So this message is basically talking about my information about getting off of the proton pump inhibitors, omeprazole, Prilosec, the ones you find over the counter for acid reflux. They're commercials making you feel as though it's so easy to take. Just take as many as possible. But unfortunately, we've known for years that omeprazole will block the production of nitric oxide and will interfere with your quest to get an E. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. What about honey? Great question. Honestly, there are some really great studies about honey right now. You know, honey, particularly local honey that's local to you in your community, not only can help you modulate your allergies and your hay fever, but honey has so many healing qualities. I mean, when we look at honey, it has an antifungal component to it. It has an antibacterial component to it. It's anti-inflammatory. So really progressive nutritionists now, when they meet with diabetics, they are not telling them not to use honey. Those are the old school ones. The ones who are really looking at the data and really looking at studies are actually using honey to help diabetics, actually. So really do some good research about honey. Don't take my word on it. Try to Google like honey and medicinal qualities, honey and diabetes, and ignore the ones that are like diabetics should not have any sugar, blah, 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 blah. And look at the ones that are more progressive, more natural focused, because honey is, I think it's about to make a comeback, and you'll see it on Good Morning America, like honey is making a comeback, you know, because it was honey, then it was agave, then it was fake sugar, and then it was this, and then it was that, but honey is great. They say high fat diets deplete nitric oxide production. You know, there's so many different types of fats out there. And if you are talking about, you know, the fats in nuts, the fats in avocado, the fats in even some meat, it definitely does not shut down nitric oxide production. Because here's the thing, we need fat for really everything, you know, like our cells need to be encased in fat, right? We need fat to make testosterone. We need fat to make thyroid hormone. We need fat, in fact, to make all of our hormones. So if your cholesterol or your fat intake is negligible because you're on a low-fat diet, because somebody you follow is telling you, follow this cleanse and do this diet and it has no fat in it, then you typically end up kind of sick, you know? I see that a lot, you know, people who are focusing on kind of fad diets, no fat, no fat, no meat, no this, no that, you know, those very restrictive diets are the things that land people in trouble. So everything in moderation. All right. What brand of supplements would you recommend for supplements? I'm a nurse and I noticed my 12-year-old daughter has elevated blood pressure. I would like to start her on a supplement. What would you recommend? Wendy, thank you for this question. Honestly, I would recommend for a 12-year-old for us to figure out what the hell is causing that hypertension. Is it her diet? Is she eating too many processed foods? Is she not exercising and moving a lot? Is it something hormonal going on there? I would push the doctor to tell me, why does my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter, have hypertension? And I would start there. I would not just throw her on supplements without knowing what the issue is. Now, I can tell you this, too. People who are magnesium deficient tend to be more anxious. They tend to be more uptight. They tend to have more headaches. They get muscle cramps. They have trouble going to sleep at night. They're high energy. They worry a lot. So there is a particular profile for magnesium deficient people. Magnesium deficient people sometimes too have ADHD. So oftentimes with kids, one thing that we can do is omega-3 fatty acids, and also consider, you know, small doses of little magnesium drinks to help them get extra magnesium if they need to relax, if they're having trouble. But in kids, oftentimes it's diet and really scaling back on the diet. And if you change her diet, then it ultimately changes the whole house's diet, and everybody has to kind of shift and get in line. So with kids, cut the sugar back. Figure out what's causing the hypertension and don't just rush to supplements, okay? This is great. Now, this is great. What about peanut butter? Right on time, because one of the questions is about peanut butter. A young lady wrote in, I don't have the question on my iPad, but a young lady wrote in with the same question. Her husband is taking creatinine and eats a lot of peanut butter, and she wonders if that could be destroying his testosterone levels. So let's just talk about peanut butter in general. So when you look at our popular peanut butters like Jif or Skippy or Peter Pan, you know, most of those have about 3 grams of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of sugar in every teaspoon of it, right? So if you're putting peanut butter on a slice of bread, that's probably about 3 teaspoons or tablespoons full of it. So that's about 9, sometimes 12 grams of sugar just in the peanut butter before you've done anything else for the day, right? So one problem with peanut butter is that it's really high in sugar. The other problem is if you're not buying organic peanut butter, then unfortunately, because peanuts grow in the ground, right? You know, they sit in the ground and absorb whatever nutrients or anti-nutrients that the ground has there. So in our country, most of the peanuts are sprayed with antifungals and anti-pesticides and all of these different things. And unfortunately, when our crops are sprayed with that, then we take it in too. And that's when it becomes something that disrupts your hormones. Right. So if you're going to focus on peanut butter, I want you to focus on an organic peanut butter. These peanuts are definitely one of those things that you want to go organic with. And then you kind of want to go with one that has no sugar added to it. Right. So it's just basically the nuts processed and maybe a healthy form of oil to it. Now, if your peanut butter is creamy all the time and you don't have to stir it, that's a sign that's probably got some unhealthy oils in it, because it will clump up. So you kind of have to stir it a little bit and bring the consistency back. And then with the peanut butter, you kind of have to use your own version of sweetener to it, right? So for us in our household, it's honey. You know, we'll put the natural peanut butter on the bread or the cracker or whatever it is. And then we use some honey on top of that to bring the sugar out. Or we'll use banana to bring the sugar out, to bring the sweetness out. So the problem with peanuts and how peanut butter could potentially block testosterone production is the hormones, the chemicals that are sprayed on the peanuts that you actually then eat that can then become endocrine disruptors and disrupt your body's ability to make testosterone, to make thyroid hormone, to make all the hormones, to be honest, and it causes a rise in inflammation. So that could potentially be the problem with peanut butter. And the young lady also asked about creatinine. Now, you got to be careful when you're using creatinine to bulk up from the gym. You got to push your water and your fluids. You got to push water and fluids more than anything, particularly if you're exercising with it, because too much creatinine can cause kidney issues. When kidney issues start to take hold, you start to notice blood pressure creeping up, but you also notice problems producing testosterone. Chronic kidney disease, chronic kidney issues will impact testosterone production. All right, so great questions. So this is a really great question, and this is going to give me an opportunity to talk about cock rings. Because Dev, who's from India, actually has multiple sclerosis. He's been diagnosed since 2005. He's 37 years old now. And he understands that I have MS, so I'm bound to have erectile issues. The issue with me is the sensitivity and the sustainability, right? So he's having trouble because he's way too sensitive, but he's also having trouble because he's just not lasting as long as he'd like to. I just want to ask if the only options I have is medication or smoothies to help. I eat dark chocolate, small portion. I drink lemon and orange juice. I also do pumping after watching your videos. Strange part is that me and my wife are not involved in sexual activities. It's been years. We have had one session. Reason being that I lose my erection very easily. So here's one thing about that, Dev, that stands out. And we'll talk about it. Listen, if you aren't getting any, if you aren't having sex regularly, or if you're not masturbating regularly, you will lose your ability to have it. It just is just like that. I'm sorry. So I'm not saying that you need to masturbate a whole lot and that, you know, you just need to be in there. But if you don't have sex, no sexual activity, no sexual contact, your erection will go to sleep. And it'll just be sitting there and it won't be, it'll be deconditioned or anything like that. It is just like your ability to you have MS, so you got to strengthen your arms. You got to strengthen your legs. You want to stay powerful as long as you can. You got to really kind of work to strengthen your erections too. And part of that is sexual contact. So pumping can help. Pumping can help recondition, but you have to get natural erections too. So for you, Dev, who's having trouble with staying power, trouble with sensitivity, you haven't had sexual contact much with your wife, but you can get an erection. You know, one of the best things that you have to start doing is practicing and training yourself to last a little longer. So what you can do is, you know, put your movie on or watch something or stimulate your brain and stimulate yourself until the point where you feel like you're about to stop or explode or can't last any longer, and then come back down. And you know, not come back down, but just focus and last through it, right? Because practicing will allow you to last longer when you're with your partner. Practicing anything makes us better at it, right? LeBron, he practices. Steph Curry, he practices. One of the things we know about Kobe is that he practiced more than anyone else. He would be there when the gym was closed. And that's what made them the best. If you can't last, you have to practice and figure out how to last longer. So you figure out what your best position is. You figure out what your worst position is. Avoid the worst position, focus on the best position, right? And then what you can do to desensitize, since you're in India and maybe you don't have access to a shockwave device or a P-shot or anything like that that can help you with sensitivity, but what you can do is just do this experiment. I just want you to tap your arm. Tap it for 30 seconds straight. And what you'll notice at the end of tapping it is like if it's just desensitized, right? You could poke it with a sharp object and it wouldn't even feel quite as sharp. You can actually desensitize your erections and your penile tissue in a similar way. So I don't advocate for those numbing creams that like desensitize the whole area and help you last longer and blah, 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 because then that stuff gets on your partner and it becomes a thing. I'm not a fan of that. And plus it's got chemicals in it. And, you know, we try to be as natural as we can until we can't anymore. But if you take and you are smacking it against your leg or smacking it back and forth, it's the same type of tactile numbing that you're actually doing. So you could actually do some of that beforehand to kind of numb things up. Another thing that you can do is if you have an explosion earlier in the day or the day before, then you'll last longer when it comes to intercourse with your wife, right? So because your body just had one, so it's like, well, you know, it's going to take me a little longer to get there again. So that's another thing that you can try. The other thing that I want to do, I've preloaded my models with cock ring on. Listen, Dev, you get that erection, you notice you're stiff. I want you to hold it at the base, trap the blood in there, and get a cock ring and put it on. Get the kind with snaps for quick release. We have these kinds. It's like a bolero tie. You're just kind of putting it on and you're constricting it and you are trapping the blood flow in there, right? And so you are artificially keeping it in there, but it gives you an erectile capacity to last longer. And not only that, that if it's tight enough, when you actually decide, when you, your body is like, oh, I'm about to, well, you know, it, you've blocked off your urethra a little bit, so you can't really. So it actually really helps you last longer. So, I mean, I honestly feel that, you know, after the age of 45, most guys should try different cock rings, figure out which ones they like. You got the kind with Velcro. You got this kind that's like a bolero tie. You got this kind. You just got to be careful to make sure it doesn't catch your skin or catch any of the hairs that are there. You know, they come in so many different shapes and sizes, but they work wonders. And then if you really want to take things up a notch, then you'll take your cock ring and you will actually go behind the testicles with it and notch it there, right? Because if you go behind the testicles, it just makes everything even more prominent and it makes the testicles more sensitive. So for you, Dev, we don't need any increased sensitivity. So you go right around the shaft. But for those of you who want, you know, just augmented things, you can consider going actually above and behind. But listen, just get one. Just, you know, you guys are becoming brave and you're trying prostate massage and you're seeing the impact that that can have on prostate symptoms and erectile function. A cock ring, you don't even have to be brave to use it. You just get that erection and you make sure that the blood is kind of pushed to the top of it, you know, just like make it to the base, kind of push the blood as far as you can, and then put it on. It's kind of like a tourniquet when you're giving blood. It traps the blood flow where it needs to be, and it can help you. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share with you a clip from a recent episode I did with Dr. Paul Perito.
Of the 3,000 or 4,000 plus chemicals and additives that are banned in the EU and China, only 900 or 400 or so we ban. And guess what? The same companies that go to Europe, McDonald's goes to Europe, their McDonald's fries has 3 ingredients. Our McDonald's fries has 19.
And when you get there and you look on the menu, it says there are 3 ingredients on it: potatoes, oil, and salt.
And salt. There you go.
That's it. That's it.
And the type of oil they use is not a hydrogenated oil, right? It is an actual, you know, natural oil that they fry their oil in, and that they fry their fries in. And so there is no accident with this.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. Okay, taking niacin and magnesium together, is this a good combo for blood flow? I mean, you know, with niacin, you got to be careful. Now, nitrates, I can advocate for niacin. That's going to be something that your doctor puts you on. So you're going to want to chat with him about that, right? Does smoking marijuana raise blood pressure? I think really honestly, it depends on what you're smoking your marijuana in. You know, if you are smoking your marijuana in tobacco leaves, you know, like if you're doing blunts, you can potentially raise your blood pressure off of the tobacco leaves, right? But in terms of long-term data, there's no long-term data to suggest that smoking weed on a regular basis will raise blood pressure levels. Great question. But Doc, sugar is good for the brain. I don't know where we got that from. I mean, you know, a little bit of sugar goes a long way, but mega doses of sugar is never going to be great for the brain. The new one is that honey is bad when it's hot. Well, you know what? Let's just say this. When you heat anything up, when you cook anything and you're putting it into the heat, there's a chemical reaction that happens there. And I think what we have to be mindful of when it comes to charring our food or cooking our food is you do have to be mindful of the temperature that you're using to cook the food in. And whether or not honey becomes a problem when it's hot, I would say that honey becomes more of a problem when you're cooking it. So like, for instance, if I'm cooking with honey, like if I'm making a honey glazed salmon, the honey goes on last. You don't want to, I see a lot of chefs on Instagram cooking the like the honey glazed products where they're making this glaze and they're cooking the food in it. You actually want to make sure that the honey is kind of the last thing that you do because you don't want to necessarily cook it, because once you start cooking anything, a chemical reaction occurs. And with honey, you know, having it in a warm or heated space is never going to be as bad as cooking it. So it's great. Okay, Shantae. Okay, Shantae has been taking the nitric oxide boosters that I recommend, and he's been feeling a big difference. That's awesome, Shantae. I'm so glad to hear that. Listen, boosting your nitric oxide levels changes the game, you know, not just direction-wise, but just health-wise in general. This is great. I carried out your giving suggestions and came up with this supplement, Equate. Complete supplement for men over 50. It has a great deal of vitamin D. I cut the dairy products. Awesome. Are K-cups okay to be used for coffee? You know, any coffee that I make in my own home that I can control is organic coffee, because unfortunately, coffee sometimes has a lot of mold in it and things that we can't control. So coffee's another thing that it's worth it to try to go organic when you can. So K-Cups probably has some form of organic coffee, but my problem with K-Cups and the reason that I don't use them is because I've seen so many documentaries on all that plastic and junk that's piled up in the oceans and the rivers and the lakes. And I also know that when I run running water at most people's houses that don't have water filtration systems built in, that there's such a high amount of plastic in that water that's disrupting everybody's hormones. So I try to avoid as many extra plastic things as I possibly can. So for me, K-cups that are detrimental to everybody long term, because every day if I have coffee 7 days a week, I have taken 7 little plastic cups that can't be degraded, that just are piling up and washing into our drinking water over time. So that's the reason I don't do K-cups. So if you're going to do K-cups, just make sure it's an organic coffee, because coffee can carry a lot of toxins in it. Thank you, Bill. I love it. Lower blood pressure. Vitamin D, exercise, belly fat, many meds of many kinds. What's the truth about blue agave? Listen, I'll take natural forms of sweetener over chemically processed sweeteners any day. I still haven't received information regarding any correlation between enlarged prostate and hemorrhoids. James, you guys kill me with this expectation that because you asked, you are going to get an answer. I have been so clear that I get hundreds of questions a day, and some of them get answered and some of them are not. But in terms of having an enlarged prostate and hemorrhoids, now hemorrhoids are venous sacs, which means that basically the veins surrounding the entryway to your anus are actually becoming engorged with blood, right? And when the hemorrhoids actually start to hurt, hemorrhoids don't necessarily usually hurt. They're more of an itching thing. When they actually start to hurt, that means we have a clot stuck in them, or a thrombosed hemorrhoid. So there is a correlation between hemorrhoids and erectile dysfunction, because both of those sometimes are a result of veins that aren't working the way we want them to. But in terms of hemorrhoids and prostate, what we think of when we think of hemorrhoids and prostate is we think of constipation. So I have some guys who have a tough issue with prostates, and then when we get to the bottom of it, some of it is caused by constipation. Hemorrhoid issues can be caused by constipation and straining and bearing down. So if you have hemorrhoids and prostate issues, one thing that you want to be leery of is that prostate massage going internally may not be right for you, right? Because you can aggravate your hemorrhoids through doing that. But another thing that you might want to be mindful of is increasing your fiber content in your diet, which will decrease the need to strain and can potentially decrease hemorrhoids. And that extra fibroid can decrease inflammation in the prostate and actually improve prostate parameters. So that would be my my answer to that one, right? Doc, any truth to semen retention? I love this question, Juan. Spiritually and clinically, I feel like semen retention is an amazing skill that guys can teach themselves to not only become better lovers, but have more control over their sexual situation and learn how to delay gratification a little bit. So semen retention, I actually teach my patients semen retention, and I feel like semen retention is a very useful thing. What semen retention actually is retaining your semen or instead of ejaculating, right? So basically what it is training your body to ejaculate when you want to and in some guys, even on a schedule, right? Because what we know spiritually dating back to ancestral existence and even current is that guys who ejaculate a lot over time, they actually are the ones who, you know, come in and maybe having some trouble with erectile issues, maybe having trouble with relationships, maybe having trouble with life even. And one quick fix, particularly in my guys who are under 40, is if I can actually convince them, hey, I think our solution is that maybe we need to ejaculate a little less. Just even putting them on a 30-day ejaculation fast can help improve erectile quality and strength tremendously. And so, you know, urologists and surgeons will say, semen retention can definitely is not something that you want to do. But I think in terms of having better sex, lasting longer, being able to delay gratification and just having stronger erections, semen retention is the secret sauce, so to speak. So great question. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Let's see. Awesome. All right. And let me see. I wanted to answer this question because this comes from a concerned dad. And I love that. You know, just reminds me of something my dad would have done for me. It says, first, I have to thank you for your knowledge you've shared with us viewers. Very informal and beneficial. Dr. Ross, is it normal for a female, my 13-year-old daughter, to vomit during the first couple days of her menstrual cycle? If yes, are there natural remedies to help? Oh, Wyman, I love that you are on here asking questions about your daughter. So listen, when I first started out in medicine, you know, I had these groups, we called it Girl Talk, and we would have girls from the community come in, we'd teach them about their bodies and you know, try to help mitigate issues that they would have long term. And menstrual cramps was a big thing. So just a kind of a brief thing about your daughter and her menstrual cramps, right? So when she is about to be on her period, something called prostaglandins actually goes up. So prostaglandins are kind of a substance that our body produces that does a number of things. One, it kind of makes your bowels overactive if they're too high. It can cause headaches. It can cause the uterus to contract, which causes menstrual cramps, right? It can cause headaches. So prostaglandins are kind of the main reason why women end up having PMS, why women end up having painful periods, and why your daughter is actually having nausea and vomiting the first few days of her period. So there's a couple things that she can do to help reduce prostaglandins naturally. Now, I want you to consider talking to her about this immediately. Otherwise, you know, her mom is going to take her to the doctor and they're going to put her on birth control pills and be like, take these birth control pills. They're going to help your 13-year-old daughter with her menstrual cramps. You know, I can't knock doctors for it. I used to do it myself. But there are some natural ways that she can reduce prostaglandin levels. So prostaglandins is kind of, you know, kind of fueled by inflammatory things. So one, the week preceding your daughter's period, one, have her kind of cut back on animal products, right? So cut back on the meats and the dairy products, because those have loaded hormones and antibiotics in it that can throw everything off and cause a raise in her prostaglandins. Another thing that I would have young girls do is start on omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil supplements. Fish oil supplements will help naturally reduce the prostaglandin levels there. Another thing to think about when it comes to prostaglandins and inflammation is that leading up to her period. Now, the quick fix is ibuprofen. A worser fix would be things like birth control pills to modulate the hormones. And what happens when they're taking ibuprofen or Aleve or something like that is it's an anti-inflammatory. It's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. And what it does is it blocks prostaglandin production. But one thing that really blocks prostaglandins really well that's natural is chamomile tea. So what you could do is a few days prior or even a week prior, just start, asking her, you want to do some chamomile tea before you go to bed. Chamomile not just relaxes you and helps you ease into sleep, it actually helps lower prostaglandins, which can help modulate menstrual symptoms. So I would really start there, and I would talk to her, hey, I was wondering, I think it's about prostaglandins. And what you want to do with someone as young as your daughter is you want to empower her to educate herself on some of this stuff. So it is normal to have nausea and vomiting in the first few days of your period, but it also shows that her prostaglandin levels are too high right through there, and that what she needs to do is start trying to reduce some of that. So this gives you an opportunity to start talking to her about healthier eating habits and ways that she can lower prostaglandins. And the two of you can read articles about it together so that you're then empowering her to make those decisions about her food and her diet and chamomile tea preceding her period, so that it's not just, oh, dad is getting, in my business again and making suggestions about my period. He's not even a guy, because the 13, has that little bit of an attitude. So I just commend you for being on it with your daughter's health and her period and getting involved in it. That's so what dad should do. And I just love that you're doing that. So I hope that helps. And let me know if you have any other questions. Let me know how you're doing. This is really important to me, because your story can help the next gent. And, that's what we're all about. And everybody has the same intention, which is to get healthier, to optimize, and to just help keep themselves and their family as healthy as possible. And it is an honor that you've chosen me to help you along the way. Anything that we talk about, I've got links below that can help guide you. Listen, if you're having trouble with staying power, look into getting a quality cock ring. Just make sure it is a quick release kind that you can get off within 20 to 30 minutes so that you don't just fall asleep and go into a sex coma, afterwards and leave that thing. All right. So I'll see you guys next week. Like this, share this, and subscribe. See you later. Thank you for listening to Gimme an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Ray.